goddess alchemy and divine magic. I'm your cosmic guide and host, Charlotte Sivak, transmitting to you live from the waterfall capital of the world, known as Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. And we have got to, first, before we get into this awesome show, we have got to thank Patrick Bernard for his incredibly beautiful rendition of Radha Govinda, which you just heard that was playing as our theme song. It is from his album Chakra Celebration, and you can find out more about it at patrickbernard.com. So we are, I can't tell you how excited and delighted we are to have you join us here today for this yummy awakening magical cosmic hour, where we're going to be enjoying the nectar of life as we actualize heaven on earth, experiencing your vastness while we're expanding the collective conscious and all the amazing synchronicities, all the while as we're going to be daring you all to be the masterpiece that you were created to be. So, you know what? We're going to live large. They say one of the greatest ways or the greatest honors of you living your life is to live your dreams. So, and that's what we're here to do. And we have an absolutely incredibly fantastic wild card lineup of a show. And as our listeners know, we're so grateful that you guys tune in. It's a multi-layered, multi-dimensional show where we go through tons of different stargates and alchemy, where we transmute and step into other dimensions that, you know, are invisible to the naked eye. But we plan this from moment to moment, so we'll definitely spark your creativity while we infuse you all with infinite possibilities and the awakening of the magical divine child. So why don't we all dare ourselves to risk living in divine cosmic orgasmic ecstasy? That's definitely a way I want to live. So it's really amazing to be back and to be on the show and to have all the amazing emails and all the listeners and everything that we get, and how it's just been expanding over the years. And it's just such a, it's such a gift to be able to do this. And the beauty of it is that we're constantly expanding and going into new levels as we've now added in this new spotlight feature where we're bringing in Pita Panos all the way from Norway, who is from spiritualquestjourneys.com, as our spiritual travel guru. She's going to be joining us every single broadcast as we go through our showcasing the different fabulous destinations to sacred sites and vortexes and exploring magical places worldwide. So I know she's got a fabulous spot she's going to be talking to us about later today, so can't wait to hear all about it. So are you there, Pita?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Charlotte.
Oh, it's great to have you on. So we'll be getting you to come back on later on as we'll be celebrating conscious soul evolution, the divine blueprint, sacred wisdom, ascension. Oh, my gosh, the mystery school of vibrant living. There's just so much to cover. So we're definitely going to be coming back to you. And we're just so honored to have this amazing guest on today. And, you know, through all the years of stepping into your power and just being able to speak your truth and to honor yourself and recognize that you're healing the world by healing yourself and taking ownership and responsibility for what you see that reflects around you, in whether it's emotional or it's in your environment or the people that you attract into your lives or through your relationships. It is just a gift. I keep talking about gift, how it keeps coming through. So it feels like this really is all about gratitude, about being able to now in this day and age pass this multidimensional portal of 2012 and birthing the new earth and the new consciousness. As we've also just stepped through with the whole 13 and 13 dimensional alignment as well too, anchoring and bringing in the divine feminine. This really is about us all, regardless of whether you are male or female, stepping into honoring and owning your power. And the amazing trailblazer guest that we have today is definitely somebody who embodies all of this. We are so grateful and so happy to welcome, just in a few minutes before I give you her bio, Laura Magdalene Eisenhower to the show. And it's just amazing, too, how you make connections with people and how you just feel that instant incredible energy or that frequency of love, and to be able to hold that space and to just resonate it outwards and beam it out. She definitely embodies all of this. Laura is a global alchemist who's also a cosmic mythologist an ascension guide, and is the great-granddaughter of Dwight David Eisenhower. She's also a profound mission to reveal our true origins, connecting with the Magdalene and Gaia Sophia energies of love and wisdom, and the works to liberate us from the military-industrial complex and the archonic systems and false power structures. These forces connect many dots that are coming into our awareness, now more than ever as our solar system has aligned with the galactic plane through 2011 and 2012. She's done amazing work. She's also a whistleblower who has been speaking out and a lot about this step from being recruited to going to the colony on Mars and also to representing a timeline that she refused to go along with. She has also been able to uncover some very necessary truths and agendas that humanity has been kept in the dark about, and lectures and does workshops on these issues, along with the topics of global alchemy, Christ Sophia, sacred union, ET races, esoteric cosmology, and a host of other things. And she seeks to do the best that she can to empower individuals so that the harmony can be completely restored. We are so honored to welcome her and ask her about her journey and just to hear what she has to say and to bring forth as she's a true gift. You can find more out about her at CosmicGaia2012.com, and we just welcome you, Laura. It's so amazing to have you on the show.
Really incredible to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's always amazing, the power and to bring that energy across and everything that you do. It's such a joy to be able to also introduce you to even more people so that your word can get out on what you're doing. How did all this incredible inner soul journeying, how did it ignite for you? How did it begin?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it was pretty much right away. I guess just being just a young kid, I was just one of those really empathic, sensitive beings. And so I just felt everything around me. I felt the energies on the planet. I felt the collective consciousness and really what we hold as a humanity together. And then also, you know, what the dynamics are being shared amongst people. I was just this massive observer. And I knew that on some level, this artificial matrix that's been set up is really to steer us away from our divine nature. It's really disempowering in so many ways. And I was just seeing, you know, a lot of examples of this in the school systems and just, you know, in groups of friends. And I isolated myself and was sort of confused by it and sort of turned it against myself, like, oh, maybe you're just too sensitive or, you know, you don't really fit in. And, you know, it wasn't something I always felt comfortable with. But when I tapped into my deeper self, I knew that I just had a mission and I knew that it had everything to do with awakening the divine blueprint, which is in everybody, and allowing that part of who we are to come to the surface so that we can, you know, understand how powerful we are as our own healers, as, you know, beings that have incredible spiritual abilities that are greater than any technology. And of course, this isn't going to be something we awaken to overnight, but I really just felt called to assist humanity in beginning to open this aspect of themselves up so that we can be on this ascension path together. And it's not so much about floating away or, you know, some of the definitions that we hear out there, but it's really about anchoring ourselves to the earth and understanding that this planetary body is a multidimensional being and is a goddess and is a part of our awakening, you know, just our connection with nature. And the feminine energy has been so exiled, and I was so sensitive to this. And then, of course, along my path, I went on a deep, deep soul journey to kind of rebirth myself out of the matrix and to stand in a truth that I want to assist others in finding, you know, of course, in their own way. And then, you know, delving into some of the deeper things that have been hidden from us, things that are seeking to control nature, you know, weather modification, chemtrails, and just all the things that have been happening behind the scenes that are really affecting our ability to co-create a beautiful future. So it's just been a deep, deep process, really, my whole life. But, of course, it's changed and shifted and taken on different forms and aspects along the way. But, yeah, it's kind of been a lifelong thing for me.
I can also see, too, like how one thing would also lead you to another as well, too. And even, like, people that you would meet or while you were traveling. And it's funny, too, how they say that all mysteries shall be revealed. And clearly it's the time for all of this to be brought to the forefront. And what an amazing job you're doing to be able to do it with such finesse and such class. And like you said too, it's not about stepping out, it's about anchoring and bringing that energy inwards, as we are the temples. So that is just incredible. I'm actually at the point where I'm like, I guess it's just, it's so such a vast amount. Where do you go from here? What do you do for fun? What ignites you? What brings that passion to you?
Oh my gosh. The passion is just kind of like built in. I feel like it's just wired in me, because anytime I try and suppress it, I feel almost like I'm getting sick. I think that I just have a deep understanding of what we used to be, and we still are what we used to be, but it's just kind of been buried. And I mean, I see it when I'm in one-on-one connection with people. I see it more than I see the other stuff in the programmings that people sort of wear on the surface. And I just almost had this laser focus to seeing the potential, you know, not just in individuals, but also in our world. And I'm just so passionate about, you know, bringing this forward, because my own path, I just experienced so much, I guess you could say, repression or being misunderstood or, you know, feeling, you know, almost lost. And so I had this passion first get ignited by my own personal will to live and to thrive and to be who I am. And I got a lot of it from spending a lot of time in the wilderness. I was trained to be an wilderness expedition leader. And so being in nature and just learning from nature and just seeing the beauty and the magic that emerges from us being able to connect with it by understanding it's our own soul essence that we're seeing outside of us when we view nature, because it's earth, air, fire, water, which we're all made of. I really started to see how we can create miracles and we can work with this energy and understand that, and I know we all know this, that spirit is more powerful than anything. But a lot in our world is kind of suppressing this awareness. And so matter then feels more dominant, and people get sick, people feel poverty, people feel survival, they feel powerlessness, and they feel at the mercy of everything that's playing out on the world stage, not really knowing how to affect change. And so knowing that we have it in us to affect change and create this incredible transformation and this incredible soul alchemy to affect, you know, this global shift in alchemy, I can't help but be passionate about it, because it's almost like seeing a talented child that doesn't believe in themselves and just saying, come on, play the piano, like, you know, or even if that person, you know, doesn't even know they have that talent, just encouraging people to just do it anyway with no judgment, because, you know, who's there to judge what's good and not good about what comes forth from us? And so it's just the ability to stand in our truth and just be ourselves without measuring it against anybody else, because to me, oneness is diversity and harmony. And it's like a web of life. You know, we're a human mandala, and the more we can be who we truly are, the more we connect the dots with each other and create the unified field with all our specific roles, which will expire over time when, you know, things shift, of course. And it's just hard not to be passionate about it, but it was kind of a life or death thing. It was like the volcano was going to blow and I needed to warn the villagers, like something's happening,
totally
like
understand.
Something I cannot keep down anymore. And so I found like, wow, you know, this is passion and fire. And it wasn't as much invoked as it was just kind of bursting through me. But it wasn't just about me. It's about all of us. And I just consider myself sort of a voice for the unified field. And I'd like to just bring attention to the deepest soul longings that I find are a theme and something we all kind of share in common. And yeah, so, I mean, lots of different things. I mean, being in the Eisenhower family was a big catalyst, you know, because you're just kind of observing like, wow, okay, this family member had a lot of influence over history. And it just caused me to ask a lot of questions and probe into the deeper mysteries of what is being hidden from us. How are things what they are when people are having, you know, experiences with extraterrestrials and there's rumors about ET government treaties? Like, you know, so I've been passionate about the truth too, not just our potential, but really understanding what's really going on. And I know truth isn't necessarily fixed, but having it enough of an idea so that we can create divine justice through the weapon of unity consciousness and universal love, rather than creating this us and them mentality where we feel victimized.
What an incredible way to put that into words. And it's interesting too, because that is amazing how it lifts also the fear matrix off of the human's consciousness, and also too, the shadow, one of my favorite topics. So there's just so much you can delve into. So it feels like you're not just only taking on just even around your surrounding, but everything within the human field. So you're not even realizing probably at times how much you're actually helping and contributing to the shift in the consciousness of the planet. And that is just remarkable. So we want to say thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I mean, if this was just the beginning of the journey, I can only imagine where it's going to be leading you. So what kind of projects do you have that you're working on at this present time? Anything you'd like to share with us?
Well, I was thinking of doing like a big DVD set because I do a lot of presentations. I'm a public speaker, and I find that the hour and a half or 2 hours I'm given is never really enough. But I'm grateful for 10 minutes, you know, or 5 minutes. But I'm like, whoa, you know, there's just so much that I want to, you know, share without any time constraints. So I'm planning on doing a series, maybe, you know, 12 hours or so of just DVDs. But I do have some speaking events coming up. And I do readings and session work with people, and that's always, you know, a part of what I do, and I'm always, you know, adding to it or refining it and coming up with just new techniques to assist individuals. But mostly, I would say I'm just keeping up with the public speaking, and I'm just open to all sorts of opportunities, and, you know, a lot do present themselves to me, and I just kind of, you know, make myself available and sort of, you know, feel into it. And so I haven't made, you know, permanent decisions about some things, but there's some things in the works that'll become more clear. But until then, I'm just, yeah, doing what I'm doing.
You're just being, and that's beautiful.
Yeah. But I think health is a big one, you know, how can we handle the toxins, the radiation, the chemtrails, you know, really how to prepare the physical body so that, you know, our vibration can still be high, despite the fact that there's a lot out there trying to lower it. So that's a
right.
big focus in my work right now.
Well, that's really incredible. And what kind of sessions do you offer?
I do hour sessions. You can find it on my website, cosmicgaiasophia.com, and there's a readings link, and it describes the different things, you know, that I can look at. And it's a pretty big page of just, you know, a lot of different things. That people can pick and choose from, but they can pretty much bring anything to the table. And I just try and reflect back the wisdom that they're showing me so that they're getting their own healing from their own information rather than this is what you should do and here's my advice, unless I'm asked. Otherwise, I utilize astrology and tarot and clairvoyance to just help the person feel more comfortable with their own wisdom and their higher truth so that they can integrate it into the body and start to kick out some of those lower forces and behavior patterns that seem to sabotage and get in the way. And I do it over Skype, and it doesn't matter where you are. But I also do combined session work with my partner, and we have an office in Ventura, and we utilize healing modalities, crystals, essential oils, and there's some other interesting things like Christ Consciousness Vajras that you can hold in your hand and get an activation, and also a Rife frequency device that we just got fixed and we'll start to use again.
That sounds incredible. Once again, we're online with Laura Magdalene Eisenhower, and you can find her and find out more information, too, about all the fabulous work that she does, too, if you'd like to book yourself a session at CosmicGaia2012.com. That is incredible, and I got to ask you, I want to turn it a little bit over, too, to the Divine Sacred Union and looking into what you also do with the Christ Sophia line and how you help with all of that. How you bring that also into the consciousness.
Right. Well, you know, the Christ Sophia energy really represents a divinity path, and the divinity paths were pretty much set up in response to duality and the separation of the masculine and feminine. And when Atlantis and Lemuria sank, or, you know, these catastrophes happened, the vibration really fell. You know, it fell into a 3D Earth, dumbed down DNA down to 3-strand. And a lot of what we know about junk DNA is actually energy that is our ethereal body and our multidimensional nature that is a part of our DNA. When we recognize that our 12-strand DNA, when activated, goes beyond 12-strand and it moves us into, you know, God, Goddess consciousness and connects us with source energy, we're always connected with that, but these aspects of ourselves have sort of fallen dormant. And so the path of Christ Sophia, it can also be called anything, you know, really the divine masculine and feminine. It could be Shakti Shiva or any of the archetypes, Osiris and Isis, but divine complements and partners. And we have that divine blueprint within. And so what a divinity path represents is the graduation and ascension ascension timeline. It's the positive timeline. And it's those that have really devoted themselves to creating, you know, transformation within by having, you know, discernment and a clear understanding of, you know, what we're made of. And sometimes it takes, you know, incarnational cycles, trials and tribulations, which is why we're in the lessons of duality, to start to remember the importance of union. Because in unity and in union, the Christ consciousness emerges. In disunity, the more satanic sort of forces end up coming out. And this could be the negative ego that blindly attaches itself to negative agendas that are masked in our society with sort of this theater facade. It doesn't, you know, yes, the news is disturbing, and the media and the entertainment industry, I think we can all admit, has a certain level of programming. But when we look at the underbelly, it's a lot darker than we can imagine. The forces or the beings that are behind this are not about unity, and they're really, you know, wanting us to stay in these roles that don't really, that aren't really true to the divine masculine and feminine, and the way that those energies are a dance with each other, not in competition, not in imbalance, but absolutely united. And so the divinity paths represent being awakened and on that journey of harnessing our own creativity to be co-creative with our experience and to awaken this divine blueprint and to form unions with others that really represent this. And it doesn't mean we're going to do it perfectly. It doesn't mean that it's a terrible thing to date or have, you know, connections that aren't always on the highest level. It's all a part of our learning process. But when we identify and devote ourselves to sacred union and understanding the Christ Sophia energy, it's like everything starts to fall into place. And in our devotion, it's okay to fall down and get back up. We know that there's more guidance, though, the minute we devote ourselves, just like when we devote ourselves to our children or our relationships. There's a safety net there, and there's an ability to self-correct and feel the intuitive guidance to know how to do that. And so it simply takes devotion. Doesn't mean, you know, we got it all figured out, but that's what the divinity path is the devotion to these principles that will help to transform our world and bring unity back, which creates the Christ consciousness returning to Earth. So when people talk about the return of Christ, it's really something within us. I mean, same with the goddess. When we talk about the return of the goddess, it's really the empowerment of our feminine energy and not holding on to the victim archetype, but becoming the warrior that you know is here to protect this sensitivity and vulnerability that we can feel as women. We both have masculine and feminine energy, so we can utilize both these forces within ourselves and not be so reliant on, you know, the man filling that void or with men having the woman fill that void or emptiness. It's about really being empowered in the self and working these energies within ourselves, which then allows us to attract a complement that can walk side by side with us and not be in sort of a codependent healing agreement or trap that, you know, we tend to rely upon and get devastated about if it doesn't work out. So it's first sort of a deeper inner commitment, and then it starts to manifest in the physical. We start to create better relationships, and then we find that our physical reality starts to shift. And then we can also recognize how much it does feed the collective, and it helps to raise the vibration of the planet. And it can have a ripple effect, and it can be very contagious. But there's a lot of opinions and viewpoints that can get in the way. So it's important that we honor the differences that we all have, and try and communicate from a soul level at least to inspire people, you know, to kind of return home without sounding like, oh, you know, some, you know, purity police or morality, you know, authority, which I definitely don't want to do, but I definitely want people to understand the importance of really honoring this within.
But it's so amazing how you bring it forward too, because the beauty of all of this is your presence. Your presence is so grounded and so anchored in truth and in owning it, that just by the mere aspect of you showing up and holding that space, that ignites everybody around you. And it's just remarkable. So you're doing such an amazing job and such an inspiration to so many just because you're owning it. So that helps to awaken everybody and make them start to question everything that's going around them, because they're like, my God, look what she's been through and where she's come from. And what she has experienced, well, I can do that too, or I can evolve to that. And it's really amazing. So I just wish you so much joy and success with your path and with your journey and with continuing on with speaking and bringing forth everything that you do, because it's really helping.
Oh, I really appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, I do everything I can to, I mean, I work on my own self, and that's the most important thing. And I think, you know, walking the talk is crucial. And also, you know, being really honest with the self. It's really important, you know, that we all own the fact that we have a lot of greatness on a spiritual level, and we also, you know, are humans, and at times, you know, there's things that happen that we need to be responsible to. And so I'm in this process every day, and that's all I can really encourage, you know, with others, because I certainly don't have it all figured out, but I'm committed to the process, and I'm committed to what it really means. And I love to just hold hands with people and to just be on this journey with everybody, knowing that, you know, there's no hierarchy, there's no greater or lesser. There might be some that are more awake than others, but it's all about unification. We have to understand we're a global family. We have to support one another without judgment. And
I
so
love that line from
I'm
Sai
really
Baba where he
grateful
says
to have
that
a
we're
chance to
all light
share.
bulbs, just at different voltages.
Right, exactly. And the less judgment we have, and the more we can just, you know, support one another and be real about our experience, I think, you know, that's one of my favorite things that I bring to the table, because I think people find, like, wow, I can't believe she's sharing this. She's being so vulnerable and open and sharing, you know, a lot of the crap she's been through. And I think that transparency is so needed right now. So I'm glad that it resonates and it gives people permission to do the same, because that's how we really clear the shadow, is not to be ashamed of it, not to, you know, deny it, but to just say, hey, you know, this is part of my process. This is what I'm here to transform. And that just kind of takes away the charge of, you know, some of the guilt that people carry. And
Yeah.
yeah.
And it brings such beauty too, as bringing in all this new energy for the new earth. I mean, this is how we're going to be, and it's amazing. The trailblazing is just beautiful. So, how many, I mean, I want to say, is there other areas that also interest you, or you just say you just go by what comes?
Oh, I mean, a lot interests me. It's sort of like, what's the priority? What's calling me the most? I wish I
Right.
could kind of split into a lot more people than I am. I mean, there's messages I want to get, you know, there's people reaching out, and sometimes I can't get to it, and it's just kind of like, I just trust that whatever gets my attention, you know, is probably the most important. And, you know, I star everything and try and get back to it. I do a lot of just surrendering, you know, and that's the thing about going into the dark night of the soul, or in the inner soul journey. We have to be, you know, creative and assertive, but we also need to fall back and, you know, fall back on ourselves a little bit, and enter that void and that mystery, and embrace the mystery, because that allows us to be in the now, and it allows us to work with the universe. You know, for example, if our car breaks down, the response could be stress and anger. Oh my gosh, my day is ruined. Or, you know, if somebody spills something on a painting we're doing, like, oh, it's trash, I need to throw that away. But a truly creative perspective would be to stay positive, to, you know, if it's a stain, turn it into a flower. If it's a car being broken down, you know, hold a positive vibration and trust that, hey, maybe the universe has something to show you that you wouldn't see if you were stuck and focused on the plan that you created, and the and what the will wants. And so I have so much fun. I wouldn't say when real adversity strikes and they're suffering, you know, because that's just a call to help and assist and have compassion. But when adversity strikes, or like a plane is missed, or something doesn't go according to plan, that's, I just get like supercharged, like, you know, and I get kind of excited, because it means that there's some kind of adventure, and I can't help it that there's some kind of adventure. And then I find the miracles happen, you know, conversations that just came out of nowhere, you know, synchronicities that you wouldn't expect, you know, happen, that, you know, actually have provided opportunities that wouldn't have been there if, you know, the car didn't break down, or the plane, you know, wasn't missed. It's we just have to keep our eyes open and allow ourselves to trust a little bit, because the universe is working with us, and sometimes it throws us things that we don't expect, but we don't need to go into fear or anger about it. It's a time to be receptive and open. And
Just
I
be
did that when I
present.
lived on the road. I did that, you know, when I was, you know, really challenged financially, and I, you know, I still am, but I don't see it as a challenge. I see it as just a way to be in the moment and resourceful and open to what the universe wants to provide for me, because the universe is always taking care of us. When we start to deny that and doubt it, or expect the money system to replace that force, then, you know, we're bounced around in the positives and negatives of the duality outside of us. But when we can hold our balance and our neutrality and open our eyes and keep the positive energy flowing, you know, beautiful things happen. My definition of miracles is holding positive energy in the face of adversity. And it doesn't mean like walking on water type miracles, but it just means, you know, that there's allowance for something else to emerge that we might have shut off if we stay rigid and focused on blame and judgment of our situations.
You're such a breath of fresh air. And in this new age world of all the different types of things that people are out there talking about, it's just right there. It's all about presence. It's all about power and embracing it. And you're doing an amazing job. And once again, everybody, we are listening to the amazing Laura Magdalene Eisenhower. You can check her out on her website at CosmicGaia2012.com. And she has amazing sessions that she also offers. So if you're looking to find out more or explore more aspects of yourself, please check her out. It's just been so incredible having you on the show. And I'm just trying to see if we have enough time, if we could even just do maybe a quick activation or maybe just even like an invocation before we bring in our fabulous travel guru. But I'm having a feeling here that we're going to have to turn this into a series. So,
oh, that'd be awesome.
So is there anything that you would do as just like a quick little centering or grounding that you would do normally for someone that you could come or comes to mind at this point or that you could maybe bring forward?
Well, I think, you know, yeah, I do. So it's really allowing the nothingness, you know, just being fully present with the self. And it's not nothingness as in nothing's happening, but it's that stillness. It's that connection to our deep core, the core truth of who we are in the moment, without going into the past or projections into the future or into the mental loops of what does it all mean, but just really just being still and present with the self and allowing the nervous system to really reset itself in present time. And then whatever chooses to come forward, you know, we can see as a message. You know, if we feel pain in our body, if we feel, you know, there is a thought that keeps looping, people tend to say, oh, I can't meditate because my mind won't shut down. Well, instead of fight it, allow yourself the opportunity to get as still and calm and in your core as much as you possibly can. And if you find that something is still grabbing your attention, then answer it, you know, make yourself available to it. We get in the mode of battling too much or having, you know, struggles and internal conflicts. And the more present we can be with ourselves, the more we can, you know, really see the importance of those messages and what our bodies are trying to tell us, because the pain that our body shows us has a message. The distracting thoughts also have a message, and it means that we didn't quite get the message yet, and that's why it's still grabbing our attention. If there's somebody in our past that keeps coming back to mind and we feel we need to clear something with them, write a letter to them even if you don't send it. If there's self-doubt, you know, maybe ask yourself, what don't you trust about yourself? What don't you trust about your life experience? If it's about somebody else in your field that you don't feel good about, you know, what empowered choices can you make to get out of this rut? And allow that meditation to inform you rather than frustrate you, because you can't find that zone of nothingness. So the first stage would be the attempt to find that emptiness, and then observation of what still is stuck, because we'll always be dragging that stuff around if we don't find ourselves dealing with it in moments of stillness. And so I just invite people to just really, really just breathe in, you know, to that divine core and to really ground the self. Even imagine, you know, a grounding cord connecting from, you know, the root of the spine to the center of the earth, to the sun within the earth, which actually is a star. It holds a 13D monadic core, which means this planetary body has the potential to expand into 13 dimensions, which connects us to the energy matrix and to source energy itself. And just know that you're safe with Mother Earth, and that you're just as connected to her core as you are to the highest of dimensions, which are something that we hold within ourselves as well. And when we connect all three dots, it's really amazing to see what we're able to release and what we're able to bring in, which just sort of recycles the energy and flows sort of this crazy eight spiral of energies from the highest dimensions to the depths of the earth and back up again through, you know, the core of who we are. And that core is the heart. And in actual fact, the chakra system, the third chakra, the power center, is really meant to be one with the heart. It's not meant to just be an ego that runs astray. It's meant to really be the power of the heart and the power of universal love, which is the bridge of heaven and earth. So it's really good to hold one's hands over the heart And just imagine that your ego, your power center, the power that emanates from you, is connected to this heart. And when we align our egos with this, then we become a vehicle for bringing this light into the physical, rather than having separation from, you know, this divine center, this divine blueprint that we all hold. And so it's just good to really, really just breathe. And like I said, if anything, you know, gets distracting, make a note of it, make it a part of the inner work, because it's showing up for a reason. And I think that's just, you know, something to pass along. And that's feels, you know, like a good thing to share at this moment.
Thank you so much, Laura, for such an amazing gateway to conscious soul evolution with that little piece with us. Do you have a few minutes to stay with us while we bring on our fabulous travel guru?
Here, absolutely.
That would be amazing. And once again, we've been listening to this incredible interview with Laura Eisenhower, and you can find out more about her on CosmicGaia2012.com. And now we would love to welcome Pita Panos, all the way from Norway, joining us to give us some incredible information, our little spotlight tidbit on another fabulous destination. So how you doing, Pita? Thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, it's such a pleasure, Charlotte. And I must tell you, I've just loved listening to Laura talk. I know your work so well, and I just think that you're the most incredible way shower. So, you know, the things that really resonate with me is when you were speaking about how important it is to stay in the present and to take responsibility for our lives and raise our vibration, and also that we recognize our own soul essence when we're in nature. And it's just the most perfect setting for what I'm going to be talking about today, which is a little town close to Phoenix in the Grand Canyon called Sedona. I don't know if you've been there, Laura, have you?
Yes, I have. I was just there. I did a conference called Ascension Rising with Sierra Niblina.
Right.
Yeah, it was amazing. I love Sedona.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm so excited, but we've got a journey coming up from the 11th to the 18th of February, and I'm so excited because it's actually my first time to Sedona. So many people have been there, and of course, Charlotte's been there, I think, 9 times?
Seven. This will be my 8.
Oh, 7 times. Okay.
So that's you're bringing the incredible energy of Sedona with you, Laura.
Oh, yes.
And that's it. You know, I'm so excited. It's been on my wish list, I think, for most of my life. Because it's the one place that the energy from the earth is so incredibly tangible. You know, you've got these amazing vortexes. You've got upflow vortexes where the energy is literally coming out of the earth, and then the inflow vortexes. So, you know, if you've got something that you want to release or give back to the earth, you know, the vortex is actually working with your energy work as you're doing it. So I think it's going to be an incredible journey.
The most amazing part, one of the things I love the most with Sedona, it's like my second home. I know it, well, it's a small little town, but I know some of those off-the-road vortexes as well. But when you come over that hill and you see that downtown core just open up in front of you, it is so majestic and just takes your breath away that you literally feel like crying, because it is just beyond words of how speechlessly beautiful it is. So I'm looking forward to seeing that with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you talk about those magnificent red rocks, and I can just imagine at sunrise and sunset, it must be the most incredible view ever.
Actually, it is. And one of the most spectacular spots to go to see the sunset, or I was going to say the rise as well, but is up at the Airport Mesa. And there's an amazing lookout there, but also it's one of my favorite vortexes. And usually what we do is we take an amethyst stone with us to charge it up while we're there, so that as you open up and allow the energy to flow through you, as the airport vortex is also, they call it a psychic vortex as well, it really enhances everything, so that when you bring the amethyst with you, it also ignites, and you can bring that home with you as placing it onto your sacred altar.
Fantastic.
So we'll be doing that on our trip for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what I find so fascinating about the energy, the vortex energy, is that it's created by the motion of spiraling energy, and it's really similar to the energy in our own bodies. So that when you're in Sedona, whatever you are feeling at that time, or whatever you bring to Sedona, is amplified. So in terms of intention setting and literally transforming your whole world, having that intention before you go, and then going through the various activations that we've got planned, is literally life-changing and can completely transform your world in such a tangible way. And I think that that's what sets Sedona apart a little bit to many of the other sacred sites, where the energy is very strong, but you really have to connect into it. Whereas in Sedona, it kind of permeates the entire valley, and wherever you are in the town, you're part of that energy. And then, of course, going to the major vortexes, and doing the activations and what have you, of course, is going to enhance it even further.
It'll be interesting too to see which one of the vortexes is going to be one of your favorite ones to hang out in. Laura, was there a specific vortex there that really spoke to you as well?
Well, we didn't get a lot of time to spend there, but I did go there a week before that, and I traveled there quite a bit. I mean, every location we went to was incredible, but there was one place I camped. I'm not even sure the name. It was a long time ago, and I don't even really know the name, but I felt this incredible activation. My grandmother was sick, and I brought a stone up and just really focused the energy, just my intentions, and just the vortex that was bringing a lot of energy to the stone, and I sent it to her. And she was just like, "I don't know what you did or what the properties of this stone is," but she was just like, she was able to walk. I mean, she was like rapidly healing. I mean, the whole place is so incredible. And I actually heard that the top part of the canyons draw like a pentagram or draw a star. Does anybody know of that? I stumbled upon that one time.
Yes.
I
And
just
there's
don't
also,
have the
too,
locations
right
and names
behind where the
down very
Verde
well.
School is, there is sphinxes and a couple of pyramids as well. And that's when
Right.
you find out that it's also a ley line connecting you to ancient Egypt, too.
Oh, incredible.
It's unbelievable. And the last time I was there, I found that, and I was just so blown away. But I couldn't take a picture, of course, because the camera, the battery went dead. So that's going to be the first mission this time, so.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Charlotte, there's that incredible picture that we have on the website of a picture you took of energy coming down, or maybe it's coming from the earth, I'm not sure. It's the one that you took right next to the Chapel of the Holy Cross.
We'll have to put that one up on the website. Yeah, it is. That is. It almost looks like a doorway into another dimension, and it's so beautiful because the cool part about it, I'm so glad you brought this up, is that it was right in front of, yes, at the Holy Chapel, but it was, if you turn to the left from it, you actually see the stat or the stones where it looks like it's the Madonna holding the child. And I think that is just so reminiscent about the coming days and times. And of course, what we're even doing here right now is bringing in the Divine Feminine, the Divine Mother emissaries, and just really anchoring this energy in the planet and how we're stepping through that dimensional veil. We'll have to put that picture up so that you can all take a look at it. It's just incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's on the site. If you go to spiritualquestjourneys.com and click on the Sedona tour, it's on the site and it is labeled. But it's not hard to miss. It's a magnificent picture of Earth energy spiraling out. So definitely worth going to have a look at it. Now, Charlotte, obviously you're going to be taking us through the activations in Sedona. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of the work that we're going to be doing energetically then?
We're going to power you all up. Help you to really step in. The first 2, 3 days are going to be crucial because we're going to be dealing a lot with the shadow and really being able to bring forward all those emotional wounds, the issues, the archetypes that really need to be transmuted and transformed, that are ready to be surrendered so that we can anchor in and then really help to build that body of light and strengthen it up so that when you leave, you really feel that glow, that energy. And you're all going to sound like Laura. She sounds so amazing coming back from Sedona, so.
Well, we can aspire, hey?
Yeah, we can inspire. So we'll be visiting quite a few different of the vortexes, and We'll also be going to a few of the off-beaten ones that are not on the map. So that'll be really fantastic.
And then I think what I really love about this particular tour is that it's a great balance between spending time at the vortexes and being in that intense energy. And then we've also got a couple of the other attractions in the area, like the Chapel of the Holy Cross, which is beautifully built into the mountain. And then the stupa, which is fantastic for meditation and spiritual renewal. And then the Palanaki ruins, which I think is going to be absolutely fascinating, looking at the history there. And of course, we must remember that this journey takes place from the 11th to the 18th of Feb. So it's actually over Valentine's Day. And we've got a nice special day planned around falling in love with the goddess within. So it really is, from start to finish, an incredibly transforming journey, releasing the old and bringing in the new energy. So it's going to be fantastic.
And that was such an amazing aspect. That was your brainchild. And Epita is just such an incredibly organized and well-versed lady in the travel field. And for you to bring this into spiritual travel, I'm so honored to have you on the show as a travel guru, and also too to be a part of Spiritual Quest Journeys. It's like a dream come true.
Well, thank you, Charlotte, and I love working with you too. And you know, as Laura was saying, we all have these things that are bursting out of us, and you know, we owe it to ourselves and to mass consciousness to follow our dreams and pursue our passions, really. And I think that's what we're all doing.
Just be. What an amazing show we've had today. Really, it's all about presence, every aspect of it. The most important thing that you can do is just show up and just be there and just be. Laura, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing with us your incredible journey and everything that you're bringing through with helping with the global alchemy. It is just beautiful, and we're just so honored to have you. Again, everyone, we've had Laura Magdalene Eisenhower. You can find out more about her by visiting her website at CosmicGaia2012.com. And to Pita Panos, our spiritual travel guru, who's joined us all the way from Norway to give us some amazing insights about Sedona and that amazing journey that we've got coming up in February. You can check that out as well, too, at spiritualquestjourneys.com. We thank you all so much for being present here with us today. That's the word of the show.
Thank you so much. This has just been amazing. It's so wonderful to connect with all of you.
Oh, true divine goddesses. And thank you, and wishing you all magical days that are full of, and you know what, we can't forget the nights. What am I doing here? Cosmic ecstasy evenings and days full of ecstasy. Thank you so much for listening to us. Infinite blessings to all of you. Aloha.
A harmonic new octave has arrived, so why not join us on Alternative Tuesdays at 2 p.m. PST for Goddess Alchemy and Divine Magic with your cosmic guide and host, Charlotte Sivak. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio.